I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, and I have Patrick Cox of our podcast, The World in Words, here with me. I know you guys at The World in Words, Patrick, have been doing a bunch of stories on people who are trying to bring back languages. What have you got for us today?
Well, Marco, we got something just a little bit different. When you think of a language that is in trouble, it tends to be in a remote part of the world, at least not in big cities. It doesn't matter if the language is in Africa or Asia or right here in the U.S. with Native American languages like Ojibwe or Navajo. What we're going to hear about today is a language that does fit that profile, but the difference is it's also spoken and being documented in New York City.
All righty, here to tell this story is the world's Alina Simone.
A typical Sunday in Jackson Heights, Queens, and a Tibetan religious service led by crimson-robed monks is doing sonic battle with a Bangladeshi Americans for Bernie Sanders rally. Welcome to Diversity Square, the epicenter of the most diverse neighborhood in America. More than 130 different languages are spoken here, but many of them are from places so small, so remote, that they can get lost in the commotion. These teens are three of about 800 speakers here in the U.S. of Mustang, a dialect of Tibetan. Pima, Domaseri, and Domaseri, yes, same name, are cousins, and
when we say Mustang, right, not many people get it, and if when we say Tibet, they're like, that's China, basically.
Every weekend, they come to Jackson Heights to attend a Mustang school.
We go to Sunday school. In Sunday school, we get taught our cultures about it, because kids come here and they forget.
Cultures may differ, but teenage embarrassment is universal. Dialects like Mustang, also referred to as Mustangi, are waging quiet battles here for time, attention, survival. What exactly are they battling against? For these girls, you could say the pursuit of the American dream itself.
Their parents work 12 hours to 15 hours in the restaurant, in the nanny job, and a nail technician, you know. So they don't have much time for engaging with the children. And if the parents talk to them with the kids in Mustangi dialect, the kids are going to respond in English.
Culture and language activist Nawang Gurung has become a custodian of Mustang here in New York City.
Language represents your identity, who you are. For if the Mustang dialects vanish, and it's slowly going to mean it's having a totally new identity.
These new identities are being forged by families who are part of a massive migration from the Himalayas, one that the earthquake in Nepal and the downturn in tourism has only accelerated. The result, especially for mountain people like the Mustang, has been
a rapid population decline compared to other regions in Nepal.
Given the challenges of starting a new life halfway across the world, even when a language is spoken at home, learning it often has to be outsourced. Nawang's fear is that as the population of only 7,500 native Mustang speakers scatters across the globe, soon there won't be anyone to learn from. So together with the Endangered Language Alliance here in New York, he is working to create a kind of Mustang Library of Congress, a digital archive that will preserve oral history, folklore, and song handed down over hundreds of years. But oddly enough, Nawang's own journey to Queens from the Himalayan village of Giling actually began with an English word.
The only word we knew was chocolate at that time. We don't know alphabet, we don't know any numerals, but we know the word chocolate.
With his cropped black hair, button-down shirt, and hipster shoulder bag, it's hard to imagine Nawang as a 7-year-old sheep herder hoping to score sweets from a visiting foreigner. But one day he made a life-changing chocolate request from an Oxford professor who had come to his village to conduct fieldwork.
At that time, I don't know what lies beyond the mountains, you know, the high peak mountains.
Within a year, he was living beyond those mountains, attending school in Kathmandu, while living with a British family. Eventually, he wound up as a graduate student at Dallas Baptist University, an opportunity that wasn't without its trade-offs. As one of a few thousand Mustang speakers in the world, he felt alone in Texas, very alone. Then one day he saw a car parked in front of his school with a familiar name and wondered who the driver was. He waited to see. You probably see where this is going.
I'm so excited to see this person. I thought this is from Mustang. I waited for 2 hours and then...
And then two white women got in and drove away. Afterward, he went back to his apartment and Googled Mustang. Instead of finding his small Himalayan community,
Mustang, the original and the front runner, thundering along far ahead of the pack.
I never heard back in Nepal about Mustang the car.
In English, the two Mustangs sound the same, but they actually have nothing in common. The car was named after Mustang the horse, whose name comes from the Spanish-Mexican word mestango, meaning an animal that strays, whereas the Mustang Valley derives its name from the Tibetan word for fertile plain, smong thang. Anyway, 6 months after the Mustang misunderstanding, Nawang transferred to New York's Hunter College and moved to Jackson Heights, where many of the sights and sounds were familiar. Like the Sunday Buddhist service in Diversity Square.
It's not lonely. Even in New York City, it's all interconnected.
There are about 8,000 people here from Tibet and Nepal whose traditions are closely related to those of Mustang. In Jackson Heights, Nawang can grab lunch at the Himalayan Yak or buy books written in Tibetan. It's also one of the few places outside of Nepal where it's possible to conduct fieldwork about the Mustang dialect and to bump into native speakers on the street. That's how I ended up interviewing the three young cousins, even getting them to sing on the street for me. Sorry, guys. Singing in Mustang, 7,000 miles from home. For the world, this is Alina Simone, from Jackson Heights, Queens.
I'm back with Patrick Cox of our podcast, The World in Words. And Patrick, you guys did a live show last week. It sounds like it went really well.
Yeah, we were at the New York Public Library talking about language revitalization. We called it From Ainu to Zaza, those both being imperiled languages that have native speakers that are trying to bring them back.
And begin with A and Z, which is a nice bookend.
Indeed. We also talked about the Hawaiian language, and we heard from a musician, a speaker of Garifuna, which is a language spoken in some Central American countries, and he taught us to sing a little bit in Garifuna.
Barumuguyasayon. Barumuguyasayon. Natiwa. Let me hear it.
Natiwa.
Bohaliweyu. Let me hear it.
Bohaliweyu.
Iyuraguaba. Let me hear it.
Iyuraguaba.
One, two, loud, go.
I think we did okay, didn't we, Marco?
Yeah, that sounds like a whole lot of fun. I'm sorry I missed it, but, you know, had this little show to do up here in Boston. Anyway, you can hear the whole thing at the New York Public Library in the latest World in Words podcast. Go to iTunes or check out the World in Words page on Facebook. And Patrick Cox, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Marco.
Again.
Iyuraguaba.
Now we're going to change key. That's how good you guys are.